Let the record reflect that we have four board members present, so we have a quorum. Director D'Amico is not present. He is unable to be here today. Council, is there a report from closed session?
President Sanders, we discussed labor issues. There's nothing to report. No action was taken.
Okay. I don't believe I have any request to speak under the first public comment period. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address the board on a matter that's not on the agenda?
How about the yes. late penalty fees for the CCSD?
Please.
What is the purpose?
Please come up to the up to the microphone and give us your name.
And I just wonder how you come to the exorbitant amount that you charge for late fees.
Late fees on
for the CCSD
on water and sewer bills.
Yes.
Madam General Manager.
The water and sewer late fees were established in 2003 as a result of time services involved in providing reminder notices, hanging 48-hour notices, and then the actual service or cost of service to turn off and restore service if you're in a cutoff situation.
Well, it seems very I'm out of breath getting here. It seems just to cover the costs of giving notice, it still seems very out of line. Really does. So I would just ask that you reconsider that, reevaluate that, and that's all I have to say.
Okay.
If it is a situation where you haven't been late before or within a 12-month period, we have a waiver.
Oh,
so
you do?
So if you haven't talked to anybody on staff, you can contact somebody in the admin office, any of the
well,
folks that will
yeah,
help you.
Well, that's not the issue, though. The issue is that I've been
okay. If you do have, if you have been assessed a late fee, and if you have a good payment history, and if there's a reasonable excuse for having been late, then we can waive the fee.
Again, that is not the issue. The issue is that I think they're exorbitant.
Understood.
Okay.
Could we also add that if you go to electronic debit, you avoid that?
That's right. Okay. Anybody else in the audience wish to address the board on a matter that's not on the agenda? Seeing no one, we will move to the next item, which is item number 3 under special meeting business, which is 3A, which is consideration of adoption of resolution 01-2010, approving a geotechnical and hydrologic study at Santa Rosa Creek Beach and directing staff to file a notice of exemption pursuant to Title 14 California Code of Regulations, Section 15306. Madam General Manager, we have a report.
Yes, thank you. This report was written in collaboration, but obviously the main author was Bob Gressens, our district engineer. As a result of a family emergency, he's had to travel out of the state, so I'll be presenting it, and please forgive me for reading most portions of it, but he has most of the technical experience, and I think he did a really good job in preparing this so that you can make your decisions today. In the fiscal impact section, the geotechnical and hydrogeologic study is being funded from the WERDA grant, or the Federal Water Resource Development Act, which pays 70% of the cost. The remaining 25% local share is funding from this previous $166,000 payment that was authorized by the board on September 18th. The United States Army Corps of Engineers administers the consulting contracts and the expenditures through their WERDA program. And the Army Corps of Engineers currently has prime consulting agreements in place with Diaz-Yorman for the geological and hydrogeologic study and with Noble Consulting for the environmental review and clearance process. Under discussion, you see Bob has outlined that the geotechnical and hydrogeologic study is a data collection effort. It's for purposes of developing various water supply alternatives that will be further analyzed with separate and subsequent project-level environmental impact statements and environmental impact reports. It's important that we understand the subterranean characteristics for well-reasoned analysis and decision-making and evaluating whether to proceed with potential water supply projects. an earlier geophysical investigation conducted in 2008, which relied upon surface-based measurements, found three paleo channels within this area. The more detailed geotechnical and hydrogeologic study will characterize the sediments that were deposited in these areas over geologic time. The Santa Rosa Creek Beach Area Study avoids issues that were associated with an earlier study proposed at the San Simeon Creek Beach, which was appealed to the California Coastal Commission. And we heard you all as a response to the Board of Directors to that meeting to really look at these other areas and these alternatives and come back with suggestions and recommendations. And the Army Corps of Engineers project team heard us when we shared those comments. And here outlined are key advantages of studying the Santa Rosa Creek Beach area, and this is in comparison with the San Simeon Creek Beach area. There's no western snowy plover critical habitat or nesting. The project site at the Santa Rosa Creek Beach is not designated snowy plover critical habitat and is not a snowy plover nesting season. The San Simeon site is designated critical habitat and is a nesting area for the federal threatened western snowy plover. The second item, no marine mammal haulout. That means no marine mammal haulout sites are located near Santa Rosa Creek Beach. Northern elephant seals haul out near the San Simeon Creek site. No seismic reflection survey. The geotechnical investigation at the Santa Rosa Beach does not include a seismic reflection survey. The proposed investigation involves only swimmers with handheld or similar devices logging GPS coordinates within the coastal waters. The previously proposed investigation at San Simeon Beach included a seismic reflection survey with potential noise and pressure impacts of the mini sparker on marine mammals and other marine life. The fourth item, no construction of an access ramp or use of a crane for vehicles to access the beach. The Santa Rosa Creek site already has a vehicle access ramp that can be used for the investigation. The geotechnical investigation proposed at San Simeon would have required either the construction of an access ramp or the use of a crane to get vehicles onto the beach. And then he gives a brief summary of the planned study. There will be a maximum of three monitoring wells, 6 to 8 inches in diameter each, which will be installed for periodic groundwater sampling and monitoring over a 2-year maximum time period. Each monitoring well will initially serve as a test well, which will involve lowering a submersible pump into the casing and pumping over a 72-hour period while measuring the groundwater levels in nearby wells. Each well will be buried under 3 feet of beach sand at the end of the pumping test and will be kept covered over the sampling period. Hand tools would be used for uncovering the well cap during periodic sampling. The wells will also be removed following the monitoring period, which may involve using a rotosonic rig or a hollow stem auger. If a hollow stem auger is used, the upper 10 feet of each well would be drilled out, with native materials replacing the upper 10 feet. Well abandonment would also comply with all regulatory requirements, which typically require grouting the remaining well casing. In either case, the intent is to only leave footprints when the study is complete. Number two, the remainder of the study will involve coring samples at approximately 6 to 7 remaining locations along the state beach and county-owned Shamel Park Beach. The samples are planned to be obtained using a rotosonic rig and are typically 4 to 6 inch diameter corings that are collected into elongated plastic bags for analysis. Therefore, there should not be any waste material associated with this method. Either the sampled material or native materials from the beach will be used to fill each sample hole. The locations of the sample corings will be above the mean high tide line and may be adjusted depending upon field conditions. The corings would occur over a 2 to 3 week period depending upon field conditions and the actual progress achieved by the driller. Number three, equipment will be removed from the beach at the end of each workday and stored at the CCSD wastewater treatment plant off of Heath Lane. The equipment will be either track mounted or rubber tire suitable for beach access. Besides the rotosonic rig, there will be one support vehicle that typically supplies coring tubes to the rig. A small four-wheel drive pickup or ATV, all-terrain vehicle, may also be used to support the on-site geologist for purposes of collecting and transporting samples. And number four, public access onto the beach will be maintained at all times. Temporary protective markings such as barrier tape or plastic fencing will also be placed around the sampling rig. The work will comply with a spill prevention plan and related best management practices. Under CEQA review, the Army Corps of Engineers is serving as the lead federal agency on the project. To comply with the federal NEPA requirements, the Army Corps has completed a categorical exclusion and has presented its coastal consistency determination to the Coastal Commission staff for review. The CCD will also be reviewed as part of a future California Coastal Commission meeting. It is at the CCSD board's discretion, to find that the recommended exemption is appropriate and to authorize staff to file the attached notice of exemption, which complies with CEQA. This filing is also required for compliance with state parks regulations prior to their issuance of a right of entry permit. CEQA provides certain categorical exemptions of certain classes of projects that do not have a significant effect on the environment. For the geotechnical and hydrogeologic studies, CEQA Guidelines Section 15306 provides for a Class 6 exemption for information collection consisting of data collection, research, and similar activities that do not result in a serious or major disturbance to an environmental resource. And that concludes the report.
Any questions of the General Manager, board members?
I have one.
Yes, please.
General Manager, I have just one concern. This is the second special meeting we've had with the DCEL project. Is there a reason for this one not being done December 14th meeting?
The report was not, the consistency report was not complete by the Army Corps.
So that it was really the Army Corps that then started for our efforts. And the same reason we had last time, September 16th, when we had that $166,000 payment. Again, it was the ACE directing then us to go forward with that payment. Is that correct?
At that time, yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of the General Manager? I have a number of requests to speak from those in the audience. The first is from Mihaela Burton.
Good afternoon, Board. Mihaela Burton, Cambria. At the heart of the California Environmental Quality Act statute is the Environmental Impact Report. The purpose of the EIR is to inform the public and its responsible officials of the environmental consequences of their decisions before the agency acts. Thus, the EIR protects not only the environment, but also self-informed government. It is unambiguous that this project is not exempt under CEQA Statute 15306. The statute has actually two parts, and the part that I'm going to address first is the information gathering part. Under this exemption that this board is being requested to approve, is to say that CEQA categorical exemption 15306 states that the activities may be strictly for information gathering purposes or as part of a study leading to an action which a public agency has not yet approved, adopted, or funded. Well, your water master plan already picked desalination. You've already got funding from WERDA. So that part, clearly you don't fit into it. Then the categorical exemption is conditioned by limitations. And the limitations are exhaustive. There's possibility of any significant effects in unusual circumstances. Other people are going to address these. And in my 3 minutes, I don't have time. But we're talking about public access. We're talking about a county beach, a public state beach. We're talking about endangered species. We're talking about ESHA. We're talking about a floodplain. We're talking about prior pumping in another project that pumped fresh water out of the creek. It goes on and on. We're talking about a playground, of which the Army Corps of Engineers seems to forget that the playground is going to be impeded because there's no way to get drilling rigs past the only public playground in all of Cambria. Mercury on there. In the report, it refers to two other agencies having similar exemption, and that doesn't fly either. And I have to be happy to provide, here are the categorical exceptions for NEPA. It doesn't fit any place. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I will respond. Please give it to the clerk, and it will be made a part of the record. I will respond to just one comment the comment was made that the Water Master Plan essentially adopted desal as a project. That's inaccurate. The Water Master Plan recommends desal as the preferred alternative for solving Cambria's water supply problem, but adoption of the Water Master Plan did not amount to adoption of desal as a project. The board has not adopted desal as a project. I just want to make that clear. Okay, the next request to speak is from Mr. Giocoletti. Oh, it's a written comment. I'm sorry. Thank you. The next request to speak is from Cheryl McDowell.
I have a statement from Giocoletti. Is that all right?
Sure. Your name, please?
Jack McCurdy. I'm on the card.
Okay.
I have those comments, just a brief comment from Giocoletti. And, from, she's a resident of 9349 Jasper Way, San Simeon. And then I have a brief comment from myself. Her comment is, since San Luis Obispo is already in non-attainment for respirable particulate matter, the proposed study referring to Army Corps testing should not be permitted. The language encouraging this action is deliberately ambiguous, obscuring the very real fact that significant pollution will be generated in the neighborhood of the community park. Diesel emissions are carcinogenic. There is no threshold of safety. A little is already too much. The reference to, quote, odor, end quote, is curiously oblique, as if this odor was not, as it most certainly is, harmful to breathe. I suggest that this project should be properly defined as, quote, not environmentally compatible with health, end quote, and not be allowed to proceed as proposed. I just have a comment for myself, Jack McCurdy.
Please.
I am a member of the Conservation Committee of the San Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club, and I'm here just to inform the board and the public that we will be examining this matter very closely and will be making comments subsequently to the board and or the Coastal Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. The next request to speak is from Cheryl McDowell. All right. The next request to speak then is from Lynn Harkins.
Good afternoon, board. Lynn Harkins, Cambria resident. I'm submitting these a hard copy, and we'll email it with a few corrections as I go along. But so to the board of directors, enclosed please find some information and perspective regarding the test well drilling you propose in the notice of exemption. Mercury mining concerns in Santa Rosa Creek watershed. Initially, I got information about Santa Rosa and San Simeon mercury mining from the RWQCB 1990 report titled Inactive Metal Mines in Four San Luis Obispo County Watersheds, Surface Water Quality Impacts, and Remedial Options, which I located by means of a simple Google search. I have to say, I wonder why it wasn't found or mentioned in the course of the, wasn't it $1 million? Programmatic EIR for the Water Master Plan. I contacted the author, researcher, and got a copy of the report. The report stated that Oceanic Mine, located above the confluence of Curdy and Santa Rosa Creeks, was the biggest mercury mine in San Luis Obispo County, a little more than, maybe it's about 5 miles up the creek. It detailed that over the course of the mine's intermittent operation, there were 38,000 flasks of liquid mercury, quicksilver, each weighing 76 pounds, produced by the Oceanic Mine. That's 2,888,000 pounds of liquid mercury that were taken from that mine by the time it closed in 1941. Show of hands from the board of how many of you knew that?
Well, I knew about the presence of the mine.
Yes, well, it's a big presence, mm-hmm. and tragically overlooked.
But there were lots of
potentially tragically overlooked, but not a lot of them that were. There weren't any that were bigger than this.
Sure.
2,888,000 pounds of that slippery stuff, all taken out during a time when there was no environmental regulation whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to a creek, so located because it's a handy place to dump stuff. Well, anyway, I talked to the author about the environmental implications of this amount of mercury in the mine residues, which he documented in 1999 were still affecting the surface waters near the confluence of Santa Rosa and Curdy Creek. It's never been remediated. I emailed the following in summarizing a phone conversation that I had with him. I said, in part, the oceanic mining activity repeatedly and over long periods of time released insoluble mercury into creek waters where it combined with suspended materials such as clay and be transported downstream, eventually to the mouth of Santa Rosa Creek and beyond to the near shore. Subsequent changes such as action by aerobic and anaerobic bacteria can lead to methylation that would mean the mercury could become water-soluble and bioavailable and potentially toxic. I will correct that to say absolutely, most definitely toxic, not potentially. Given the near century of periodic, vigorous mining at the oceanic site and the shifting location of the Santa Rosa Creek mouth, it is not unreasonable to suggest that there might well be significant, though unevenly distributed, strata and pockets of organic and inorganic mercury buried in deep sediments all along the beach and near shore where Santa Rosa Creek breaks through in various locations each winter. Those of us who have lived here for a while have seen it blown straight through. And so the idea you're going to bury wells 3 feet in sand is laughable, again, if there were not tragic implications to this. Indeed, sediments all along the beach, I asked if you thought a complete CEQA review, again, these are my, I'm addressing this to David Schwartzbart, the author of that article with the Water Quality Board. I asked if you thought a complete CEQA review of possible desal locations should have looked at these issues. You replied that with your understanding of CEQA, you'd opine that the possible citizen scientist in an investigative and journalism initiative in concert with the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club, I went and got some sediment samples at the mouth of Santa Rosa Creek. And in one sediment sample, there was 180 parts per billion of total mercury. In the other one, it was 540 parts per billion. And these are... Well, you can contact experts to let you know whether or not this is a concern. But what's really of concern is methylmercury, and so I decided to go for the 540 parts per billion sample we did, and it came back with 3 parts per billion methylmercury. Now, that seems like a small concentration, but in researching this, it turns out that methylmercury isn't found in sediments as much as it is found in the surrounding biota. So that the fact that I found 3 parts per billion in the sediment, which would represent only 1 to 10% of the methylmercury present in that area, the other 90 to 99% was in the surrounding the algae, the organisms, the plants that were right near that site, which was right in front of the bench, right in front of the bench that's on the other side of the fence of Shamo Park.
Do you have your test data?
I do.
Are you going to submit it?
Yes.
Okay. Can you wrap it up?
Yep.
Thank you.
So, somewhere between 27 parts per billion and 297 parts per billion of methylmercury could reasonably be expected to have been around the area where I took that sediment. So what you propose is pumping out water on a 72-hour continuous basis from these sediments. And what you have in the Army Corps is just going to put a bag over the hose that goes into the nearshore environment. It's totally inadequate. It wouldn't filter out anything. All it's designed is to slow the water down for velocity and turbidity, just to slow down some of the sediment that's going out there. So any legacy mercury deposits are going right out into there. Now, granted, there's some out there already, but just because something's imperfect, we don't get to vandalize it further.
Okay.
To corroborate,
Hawkins,
please
wrap it up.
To corroborate that mercury mining waste is indeed a serious problem, one can look to the district engineer, Mr. Greshens, who part of his objection to the Nacimiento pipeline was that old mercury mining waste, He put it right in, you know, that it would go to methylmercury formation, to bioaccumulation, to a neurotoxin. And he was concerned about that in the Nacimiento water alternative. So in conclusions, I just say that that wonderful creek is sort of remediating itself. The willows all along it are able to take up mercury in its in their roots. They don't transmit it to their stems or their leaves. They just phytostabilize it. If we stopped the water from being contaminated up by the mine, we could start to reverse this. And this is the kind of information that needs to get out here. So I want to say about your notice of exemption. When you sign that today, it limits the time for input or challenge to what you're doing to 35 days. And I think the community and everyone would be better served if you don't sign that notice of exemption. Allow for the 180-day period to stand so that we can get more information about what we're doing here. You owe it to your sense of your responsibility to stewardship for the environment here, which we all are reliant upon and out of which our water flows. And so
thank you for your comments.
Thank you for your time.
You bet. The next request to speak is from Jim Webb.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Webb, and I live here in town. I'd like to comment on a couple of the items from the document that was sent by Army Corps of Engineers to the Coastal Commission. And the first point, I think, should be quite obvious and not controversial to anyone who views the attached photographs in the proposed of the proposed test site. There are pictures looking south at an expanse of sand, pictures looking north at an expanse of sand, but there's nothing looking straight ahead, which is a bunch of rocks. And the rocky reef lies at the mouth of Santa Rosa Creek. In fact, the document incorrectly states, and I quote, "The intertidal area seaward of the study site consists of sandy beach." Well, all it takes is a walk down to the Shamwell Park, and you can see whether that's true or not. The document notes that the site is, at, in part, interspersed with isolated rocky features. In fact, the rocky intertidal zone is a continuation of a reef that extends to Cambria Rock and beyond to deeper waters. Ecologically, this site cannot be seen as isolated or separated from other similar features. The one sentence on, quote, epibiota is incomplete and ignores one of the most treasured invertebrates, the black abalone, which lives on the rocks right at the mouth of Santa Rosa Creek. I know I used to go pick them when it was legal to do that. Further, it ignores all of the snails, chitons, limpets, crabs, mussels, hundreds of other species, and makes no mention of them. Then there are the fish. The document notes the applicability of the Magnuson-Stevens Act and curiously ignores all applicable state management measures. Starting with the 1998 Marine Life Management Act, the state of California began a process to ensure the sustainability of marine resources within the three-mile state boundary that's their jurisdiction. One of the first products of that act was the Nearshore Fishery Management Plan, which was enacted in 2002 by the Department of Fish and Game, or pardon me, by the Fish and Game Commission. In it, the state focused on 19 nearshore species of rockfish, several of which can be found in and around those rocks right in front of Shamwell Park. Fish like blue rockfish, black rockfish, gopher cod, etc. The state took over responsibility for managing the Main Creek Channel. The California Coastal Records Project houses several images, which you're free to look up, that show Santa Rosa Creek flowing directly adjacent to Shamwell Park. The tendency of fast-moving water to move in a straight line to the sea can't be denied. This time of year marks the return of the South Central California steelhead to our local creeks. These fish are often found near creek mouths waiting for the sand and gravel bars to be breached. This marks the beginning of a reproductive cycle that has been going on for millennia. The rocks in front of Shamel Park also host large populations of several species of surf perch. Most of these give birth to live young during the winter months. Interruptions to these critical life processes need to be avoided at all costs. A thorough environmental assessment is the least we could do to protect our marine resources for generations to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. The next request to speak is from Elizabeth Bentenhausen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have copies of this that I've given already to the to Ms. Cho for the record, and if you would like them, I could give them to you now so that it's easier to follow along with what I'm going to say, given my throat. Would you like them now or later? She has one.
You can hand them to the clerk, and she can pass them out to the board members. That'd be fine.
And I assume that Mr. D'Amico will get his upon his return. Oh, dear, I have to read this without my glasses since I forgot to use a big font size. That brings to mind font size. I won't bring that up again about the Army Corps. The resolution before you today, gentlemen, claims that you will have considered, quote, all evidence, including public testimony, before finding that it is in, quote, the best interest of the community to proceed with the geological and hydrogeological study at Santa Rosa Creek Beach. I submit my comments to you in writing, request their inclusion in the public record, and hope that you will now take the time to listen to them before you make your decision. The claim is made that this, quote, information gathering study, end quote, will not, quote, result in a serious or major disturbance to an environmental resource, end quote. I raise several questions in this regard. Question one, how long will this study take? The CCSD district engineer in the agenda discussion today writes, a maximum of three monitoring wells, 6 to 8 inches in diameter each, will be installed for periodic groundwater sampling and monitoring over a 2-year maximum time period. However, the coastal consistency determination from the Army Corps states each monitoring well may need to remain for up to 1 year after installation. Which claim is accurate? If a well of 100 feet, for example, is left in the beach and activated over 2 years instead of 1 year, will this be more likely to result in a serious or major disturbance to an environmental resource? By what studies and criteria is this judgment made? Indeed, if at the end of 1 or 2 years it is discovered that removal of the whole test well is not possible, what will be the effects of this permanent disturbance of the beach and its environs? I quote now from the Coastal Consistency Determination from the Army Corps. If the complete removal of test wells is impracticable, the monitoring wells will be removed by drilling out to the maximum depth practicable. Well bores will be filled with bentonite cement slurry from the bottom of the well bore to 5 feet below the lowest breach scour elevation, and native sand used to fill the remainder of the well. The surface will be sealed, etc., according to county standards. With what studies and criteria has this judgment about the effects on San Simeon Park Beach been made with regard to possibly permanent structures in the beach? Question number two. If initially 7-to-1 coring wells are drilled and then 3 test wells are installed along with 6 monitoring wells, along with pumps and generators, and this testing equipment stays on the beach for 1 to 2 years, how is the conclusion reached that no development is being placed on or in the beach? Invisible on site does not mean unreal. Invisible on site, of course, unless storms or earthquake change the conditions, as they frequently have on Shamel Park, as my photography could demonstrate, were you interested in that. Question number three. The Coastal Consistency Determination states, quote, the objective of this initial investigation is to help define the paleo channel extension offshore from Santa Rosa Creek Beach to characterize the subsurface materials and hydrology, end quote. However, 3.1 states, the site investigation will incur onshore along the beach entirely above landward of the mean higher high the mean higher high water line. It's sometimes difficult to understand the vocabulary of the ACE. If the objective of this initial investigation is to help define the paleo channel extension offshore, as they say, from the Santa Rosa Creek beach, how does drilling only above the, quote, high mean higher high water line accomplish this? What criteria will be used then to judge the information gathered in this respect? If you drill by the fence at Shamel, how do you find about the offshore paleo channels? Question number four. The coastal consistency determination states, the proposed exploration locations may be subject to minor relocation, that is, within a 50-foot radius, during the course of the field investigation based on geologic conditions or site conditions. These conditions include the depth to bedrock or nature of the sediments, tide, storm events, wave run-up, then current beach topography, or presence of any other impediment, end quote. How and why was the decision made to construe the depth to bedrock or nature of the sediments, tide, storm events, wave run-up, then current beach topography as impediments to the planned research rather than as constitutive elements of the environment? How are these so-called impediments factored into the computer modeling mentioned in the objectives? The bedrock sediments, tide, storm events, wave run-up, beach topography, and much more constitute the beach environment. They are not impediments to testing it. To determine whether a study poses a, quote, serious or major disturbance to an environmental resource, end quote, by first defining these elements as impediments violates scientific methodology. Question five. Sounds like S-A-L-M-O-N, but is pronounced the same, but spelled P-S-A-M-M-O-N, salmon. The members of the community, salmon, are wondrous, he says. Most of us don't know they exist, but we should be grateful to them. Without myofauna, the sands of our beaches and lakeshores would be stinking, toxic places with organic debris rotting unconsumed and dangerous bacteria rampant. The microscopic creatures of the myofauna feed off this debris. They keep our beaches clean, down here at Shamel. I added that. While Jay Oakden's work is quoted by the Army Corps of Engineers in 4.3 on marine environment, the only comment made about the impact of 10 wells on visible and microscopic life on and in the sands is this sentence, quote, impacts to native wildlife and vegetation would be less than significant, end quote. No supporting evidence is given, no relevant studies cited, no argument made. The assertion sits there bare as can be. Those designing the study did not take into account the immense complexity of life within the sand and human dependence on it. Neither do they consider the possibility that the drilling of 7 to 11 wells across the beach might disrupt the natural behavior of the beach as a whole, that is, in relation to what surrounds and engages it on all sides.
Ms. Bettenhausen, I ask you to summarize the balance and fairness?
I understand that, but I do know that you want public testimony, yes, according to your
understood.
Agenda.
Understood. We have your testimony in writing.
And I hope you will read it before you make your vote today.
We shall. So if you can please summarize.
So I'll read the conclusion then. Thank you. Science and engineering seem to have little to do with each other in the proposed study. I cannot summarize the argument here, but I point you to The Core and the Shore, the book by Orrin Pilkney and Catherine Dixon. In Chapter 3, and I'll be quick about this, they summarize the Army Corps of Engineers' control of beaches around the United States and document it in great detail. In this chapter, they name and discern some of the specific and fatal weaknesses of mathematical models used by coastal engineers. Quote, isolation of natural processes, representation of complex nature with artificial simplicity, failure to consider inherent uncertainties of natural processes, failure to consider chaos theory, and failure to recognize variety in nature. Reading this book, I frequently said to myself, yes, this is exactly what's happening in Cambria. I want to mention finally then that Dr. Earle, in her book about the ocean as the heart of the world, says she has one wish, and I'll just read the last two paragraphs here then. At the end she says, I wish you would all use means at your disposal, films, expeditions, the web, new submarines, to create a campaign to ignite public support for a global network of marine protected areas. Hope spots enough to save and restore the ocean, the blue heart of the planet. And at the list at the end of her book of protected marine sites around the United States, guess which one is listed, included? Cambria State Marine Conservation Area, right out here. My last sentence, the coastal consistency determination / geotechnical and hydrogeologic investigation / Cambria, provided by the Army Corps of Engineers, never even mentions the Cambria State Marine Conservation Area. I thank you very much for your prolonged attention.
Thank you. The next request to speak is from Mary Webb. Written comments, you're right. Thank you very much, and they will be made a part of the record. The next request to speak is from Constance Faber.
Constance Faber, resident of Cambria. I'd like to read into the record a letter from the Otter Project, signed by its executive director, Allison Ford. Read the proposed adoption of Resolution 01-2010. Dear Mr. Sanders and colleagues, I am writing to offer comments on the proposed adoption of Resolution 01-2010, approving a geotechnical and hydrogeologic study at Santa Rosa Creek Beach and directing staff to file a notice of exemption pursuant to Title 14 California Code of Regulations 15306, end quote. All comments are made on behalf of the Otter Project, a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the recovery of the California sea otter and our local members in Cambria and the Central Coast. The proposed resolution was called to my attention on January 4, 2010, by a local citizen concerned with the potential impacts of the test wells that the proposed CEQA exemption will permit. I am concerned with the lack of notice given to interested parties to offer detailed commentary on the proposed study, especially considering this project has been problematic in the past, as noted in the district engineer's summary of changes made from the previously proposed site. Although I am unable to offer detailed comments, I would like to express a key concern. Given the presence of sea otters in the local nearshore, potential impacts to the nearshore water quality must be considered. While it appears that the proposed testing is an improvement over the previous proposal at San Simeon Creek Beach, as detailed in Mr. Robert Gresson's report, we are concerned about the potential disturbance of sediment that could find its way into otter habitat. Sediment pollution is known to convey contaminants through watersheds. In an area that has tested high for mercury toxicity in the past, sediment coming from the environ of Santa Rosa Creek are a concern. Otters are well known to be an indicator species that reflect conditions of the nearshore ecosystem in which they reside. It is also well known that the population of sea otters throughout California is in decline. Scientists and advocates frequently point to water quality as the biggest threat to otter health. This is substantiated by numerous studies on the levels of contaminants found in otter tissues and the numbers of otters dying of disease-related causes. It is becoming increasingly clear that threats to otters are complex and multifactorial. It is essential that even small projects consider the potential impacts on these species and take careful measures to mitigate harm. I request that special care be taken to minimize sediment pollution that could potentially have negative impacts on water quality and nearshore marine life. Furthermore, I request that the Community Service District add the Otter Project to the list of interested parties for the desalination plant and related projects. Contact information is as follows, and I believe you have that in the record.
Yes.
Thank you for addressing our concerns. Sincerely, Allison Ford, Executive Director.
Thank you, and the physical letter itself will be made a part of the record as well.
Okay, and I have this copy. I believe it was emailed to you as well. And may I also make a brief personal comment?
Sure.
As a resident? I'm not quite sure if there is any mechanism in place for formal notification of a special meeting of this sort. As late as today, it is difficult to find any mention of it, even on your website. If you could inform me as to what notification was made to the general public other than notification to your list of interested parties, I'd be interested in knowing that.
Madam General Manager and Madam Clerk, why don't you...
Our official posting site is at the CCSD admin offices on Tamsen. We post at the Cambria Library, and we post right out here at the outside of the Vets Building, but the official site is at the admin office. Did we get this up on the CCSD website? It's up, and is it under What's New, or is it at the in the agenda packets? It's in the agenda packets.
In the agenda packets, there is nothing under easily accessible. I would suggest that in the future there might be something for a public not used to navigating every single point of the site, that a logical point is meetings or something to that effect. It was not readily found. And I would also like to encourage you, it is my understanding that it is your intention to vote on this issue today at the conclusion of this
yes.
meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
I would suggest that that is disingenuous at best and not in the best interest of the public. There have been a number of comments raised today that I think require some consideration. I would encourage you to take a little more time to look over the information that's been provided to you. Thank you
for your comments. The next, the next request to speak is from Richard Hawley.
Good afternoon, board
and
staff. Some startling information has come before us today. Once again, it takes an active group of citizens to make a project better. And once again, the citizens have unearthed things that an EIR would have. And to try to hide some of the stuff in a negative deck or exempt from CEQA, things that you're trying to do here, is not going to work again. It didn't work at San Simeon. It's not going to work here. Some of the information here is absolutely startling. And as board members representing the community, you owe us and the environment a little more consideration, a little more in-depth look at what's going on. Santa Rosa Creek Lagoon is designated critical habitat for a number of species, so it's not just a mile away. We have California red-legged frog that exists there and thrives there, and of course we have steelhead, and that's been talked about. Tidewater goby is a federally listed species, makes its home right there in the lagoon. The two-striped garter snake, which isn't listed but is treated as a species of concern. So is the western pond turtle. All of these creatures live there. The sandbar there in the lagoon is also a significant part of the western flyway and the Pacific flyway, and lots of migratory birds come and through there during this time of year, especially geese. I think the Coastal Act and the local coastal program is being abused, as is CEQA, if you determine there's no significant impact here. And public access and public use of a state beach needs to be looked at a little closer. The wells that we're talking about here, the casings left in the beach, that was a topic of hot debate at the last Coastal Commission meeting when you guys were turned down dramatically on the San Simeon issue, leaving casings on a state beach that could be unearthed during high tides or during scouring periods of storms. People could get hurt on those. No one wants that on our state beaches, our public beaches, our county beaches, or any beach for that matter. So once again, the citizens of this community have unearthed issues that your staff and the Army Corps of Engineers couldn't. So please listen to them. You owe it to us to do the right thing and not to go on the cheap. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments. The next request to speak is from Mike Willis.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Willis, and my wife and I have been residents of Cambria for 21 years, and we've gone through several ups and downs in relation to the water issues. You know, we're short of supply. We have plenty. We don't have plenty. We, want all kinds of different, kind of ups and downs. And we want to offer our support to the board in their efforts to solve this issue of water and to deal with the connected growth issues. I feel kind of like a minority report here saying that I support what's going on, based on what's happened up to this point. But, we were here when we heard the colonel giving his presentation, and I don't feel, and the people that I come in contact with do not feel, that he's lying to us, that he is going to run roughshod over the environment and do the things that seem to be alluded here that's going to happen. So anyway, we need the water. The board is exploring the desal plant and other areas. And, if these creeks are polluted the way people are saying, then we really need the desal plant, because that's where we get the water for Cambria. So anyway, like I said, we support the board, and I'm not by myself when I say that the community of Cambria wants the water issue solved, and the board is on the right track, and I just hope they don't get knocked off that track by, all of the background noise. Thank you.
Thank you. The next request to speak is from Tina Dickinson.
Good afternoon, board and staff. Tina Dickinson, Cambria, and more specifically, Park Hill. I moved to Cambria because of an ongoing asthmatic condition that was worsening in the L.A., east of L.A. area. I moved here so that I could breathe a little better, and I still take some asthmatic medications. But I can assure you that as a resident on Park Hill, I will do my utmost to get a petition going to all the residents of Park Hill who disagree vehemently with the action that the board may take today, but even more so, the action that you are even considering in a marine sanctuary. And I would just like to read a couple of things. Unfortunately, I've had to work the last 8 days while most people have had the blessing of a vacation, so I've had very little time, and again, we've had another surprise with no videotape meeting. So the state of California, this is their mission. The mission of the California Department of Parks and Recreation, specifically, is to provide for the health, inspiration, and education of the people of California by helping to preserve the state's extraordinary biological diversity, protecting its most valued natural and cultural resources, and creating opportunities for high-quality outdoor recreation. Also, under a subcategory from the state of California for protected areas, we have the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, which we are a part of. And from the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, I read, stretching from Rocky Point in Marin County, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge, to the town of Cambria in San Luis Obispo County, the MBNMS encompasses a shoreline length of 276 miles of ocean surrounding Monterey Bay. Supporting one of the world's most diverse marine ecosystems, it is home to numerous mammals, seabirds, fishes, invertebrates, and plants in a remarkably productive coastal environment. The MBNMS was established in 1992 for the purpose of resource protection, research, education, and public use of this national treasure. And now from the San Luis Obispo Tribune, where they list Shamel Park as a park/nature preserve. Shamel Park, your Cambria Vacation Planning Network. Shamel Park is located on Windsor Boulevard, the only street allowing access to Park Hill. This is the park that gave Park Hill its name. Located right next to the largest sandy beach in Cambria, it hosts many special events, including weddings, Kidorama, and the Independence Day Festival. Shamel Park has, among other things, a playground, a public swimming pool, a large grassy area, many picnic benches, barbecues, gazebo, blah, blah, blah. So we have a playground. We have a swimming pool. We have an area for the biggest gatherings that take place in Cambria, the only place where there is a playground for children, where there is a swimming pool. And it is a park. It is part of our marine sanctuary. It is part of our heritage. And to think that the directors, and specifically one director at the last meeting, referred to what you may do as your legacy. I would say that you may have to set up your own public or your own private defense fund for your legacy, because there's no telling what this legacy may end up being. It's a disaster. I think you should be ashamed of yourselves. And I personally hope it never, ever happens. And I will do whatever it takes, because this is the worst sight in when we've looked at what the state, what the county, what the Monterey Bay Sanctuary, all of that have said. And you have the audacity to look at this site. Shame on you. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next request to speak is from Stephen Figler.
I also am very concerned about the absence of an audiovisual record of such an important meeting. And in particular, when I hear some of the scientific information that's been given us, I had no idea about the mercury problem. This is something that I really think should be made, that the Cambria public should be made aware of this. We've had this water problem for such a long time, and the desal plant has been our purported answer to the problem for such a long time that it's sort of been a freight train. That's been slowed down here and there. The freight train has been sort of sidetracked here and there, or slowed, but whatever, on issues such as population growth and you know, all sorts of other things. But when you're messing with mercury, that's a big problem, and it needs to be faced, and it should not be sidestepped by a request for an exemption of further investigation. It's just, this is critical stuff, folks. To hear today and read that the comments in this report claiming, quote, no adverse effect on the environment, and to hear another comment from the report which is ludicrous, intend to leave only footprints? Please, this a project of this size is not going to leave only footprints, and everybody knows that. It's actually insulting to have a byword of the Sierra Club used to justify a project like this. Nor did I read or hear anything about the salt byproduct of RO. And what's going to be done with the salt? Well, I believe that what's done with it in desal plants is to put it back in the ocean. But you're not going to spread it out. There will be a plume. And to believe that's only a footprint is ludicrous. Just down the road, 20 miles. Last month, Morro Bay had a meeting, a public meeting, where they brought in scientists to show the efficacy of gray water use in the homes to cut water use. There were over 100 people there. To be outshone by Morro Bay, I don't know. Somehow as a Cambrian that bothers me. But it shows that there are alternatives. There are ways to cut water use. Do we even know how much of our potable water, our clean water, is used in gardens here? Have you investigated that as a way of cutting water use? Most expensive, monetarily and environmentally way to solve, quote unquote, the Cambria water problem is to have a desal plant. I wasn't going to make a comment on legacy because I thought, well, gee, maybe that might be sort of a personal attack. But then to find out at the last meeting that this issue was apparently raised by a member of the board leads me to, yes, make a comment about legacy. You people don't want to be the ones who stopped the desal plant, which has been a great issue in town for 20 years, I think. But you really need to think about your name going on an environmental tragedy. That it was your vote that allowed this to happen because you didn't do enough research, because you and other people in town were tired of the background noise of people like us who say, investigate it more, look at it more, look deeper into the science, and don't overlook things. And don't take at face value the push of someone from the Corps of Engineers, whose job it is to do projects. The Corps of Engineers is responsible for some of the worst environmental disasters in this country.
Can you wrap it up, please, Mr. Fulmer?
I just wrapped it up.
Thank you. Let me briefly respond by saying this proposed action today is not for approval of a desalination plant. We don't have a desalination plant project. We do have before us a proposal to essentially bore 10 holes. That's what this is all about. So I want you to keep that in perspective. The last request to speak is from Don Keene.
Well, my name is Don Keene. I've been a resident of Cambria for about 12 years, interested in Cambria about 30. And I've seen the community dragging its feet for the last 25 years and accomplishing nothing. I have a number of points to make here. I'm not going to make a polished presentation. I'm going to make the points, or it may be disconnected, but I think it'll be a faster approach.
It's okay.
First of all, I think very important consideration, the vocal minority always has an obstruction. I don't care what kind of a project you have. They'll kill the project, requiring time after time after time delay. And that's happening here as well. The silent majority, if you will, they don't appear that much. And the reason is they rely on your reasonability and common sense. That's what we have a board of directors for, and that's what they are relying on. You won't hear too much from them today. I think comments made here a moment ago regarding, with all respect to the lady that brought up the issue about the swimming pool, where does she expect to get the water to fill the pool when the water starts getting real short? We have a gentleman concerned about salt going back in the ocean. All waters go back to the ocean sooner or later, and the salt content doesn't change. It'll just be distributed. And that's the same that happens with the sewage we throw out there, and the salt is a lot less detrimental than our sewage. The obligation you folks have under the enabling agreements that you have to provide water for the future, not for today. And the future is coming, and water will be required. You need it for fire. You need it for domestic use. Whatever the cases may be, you need more water, and we can't throw away $25 million that is being offered for a desalinization project. I realize we're not on that topic today. But the topic today has to do with the instruments that have to be completed, passed, and so we can move ahead with the desalinization. So there you are, gentlemen. That's my delivery, and I hope you will exercise that reasonability and common sense regardless of the vocal minority. And I will make this one last comment, which I've seen through the years. Vocal minority objection is based upon one consideration only, and frankly and bluntly, it's just plain greed. We got ours. We don't want anybody else sharing it.
Thank you for your comments. I have one last request to speak from Amanda Rice.
Thank you, President Sanders. It has been 2,994 days now since the moratorium was declared. That's all I'm going to say about that one today. I love living in San Luis Obispo County, and I absolutely love living in Cambria. Only in a place like this could you, where 65%, over 65% of the population is college educated, would you have the kind of public testimony that we had today. And there's clearly some people in this town that are very well informed on these issues. I would like to echo something that I believe Ron Crummett said over 2 years ago about desal, which was maybe it's time to remind people what the deal is with desal. There's a lot of people that have moved here since the project happened in 96 and since you've been pursuing this for so long, and maybe they would benefit from some more education on the issue. The fact that this meeting won't have video, I assume there will be audio available. I would like to let people know that on my website, which is aboutcambria.com, I've asked Ms. Bettenhausen and I've asked Ms. Harkins if they would provide the information that they testified about, and anybody else who wants to provide me information that has data backing it up so that the community has access to that information. Because we are a really well-educated, thinking community. And if you give people the information so that they can make their own decision, you will probably find people providing more support for at least a process that's being done appropriately. Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I did receive another request to speak from Tina Dickinson, but I'm going to disallow it. She's already had her opportunity to speak. Board members, please, you are not going to testify again on this matter. You've had your chance. You were given more than your 3 minutes' time. Board members, what I propose is that we take a brief recess. We have some written testimony that I think we should read before we take a final action. So with that, we will take a 10-minute recess.
Yeah.
Meeting will come back to order. Ladies and gentlemen, we have brought the meeting back to order for the sake of going into another recess. Almost sounds like catch 22, doesn't it? We need about a half an hour or 45 minutes. We need to consult with our legal counsel and do some other things. So we will be back in session by about 2:45, about a half an hour from now. It may be a little bit longer than that, but sometime around 2:45. So if you want to stick around, that's fine. If you want to leave and come back, you can do that as well. So we are in recess until about 2:45. Read the all of the written material that was submitted to us during the course of today's meeting. And having listened carefully to the testimony offered by the many people who took time out of their day to come to this meeting and tell us about their concerns about the proposed action, and after having consulted with our district council and our general manager, I believe the most appropriate action would be to not adopt the recommended action here today, but rather to direct staff to do an initial study under the California Environmental Quality Act. The initial study will obviously take into consideration all of the alleged environmental impacts associated with this geotechnical project that we're presented today and the others that are required under CEQA. And I would expect that that initial study could probably be prepared over the course of the next week or so. And so probably by the January 21st meeting, we would have some more clear direction on exactly what CEQA process we're going to use here. So with that, I'm going to take a little step out of the ordinary procedure here and make a motion myself that we direct staff to do an initial study to consider, as initial studies do, the alleged impacts with this proposed geotechnical investigation, and to report back to us at the January 21st, 2010 meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. With that, we will move to the final public comment period. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address the board on a matter that is not on the agenda? Mihaela Burton.
Mihaela Burton. Directors, can I just ask for a clarification on the resolution? And thank you for taking this. The question is by doing an initial study, when you decide whether it's a negative declaration, mitigated, or a full EIR, will there then there be full notice in the newspaper? And as
yes.
Okay. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Yes, under public comment.
Since we didn't have any videotaping today of this meeting, will the minutes be published on the CCSD's website so that we know exactly the wording of the
yes.
vote that was just taken, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Ms. Harkin.
So is it my understanding from AGP that Kathy can make copies of the audio CD of the proceedings today?
Yes. Is that possible?
That's correct.
That's
is that
correct.
At cost? Or what
there
does that
is
cost?
A cost associated when it's done with, through the public records request that one would make to request the audio of the meeting.
Okay. How much is it?
I'd like to give you that cost at the office. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Yes. It does have to do with what we just talked about.
That's
but
okay.
I want to understand, since I suffered nobly through this cold, I worked my butt off on getting
I just got over mine, so
so
appreciate it.
I mean, I didn't know that this was going to happen, and I really did have to work like crazy to make a response. Is it possible, since I feel I left out, even from my four pages, some major issues that I had hoped to get in by 11:55 this morning, is it possible to submit additional testimony to the staff or not?
Yes.
Thank you very
you
much.
You can send a letter to the staff at any time.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem. Any other comments under public comment? Seeing nobody else, the meeting is adjourned.